Good morning. Today we're going to be reading Romans 11, 25 through 32. Lest you be wise in your own sight, I do not want you to be unaware of this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Israelites has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as regard election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all.
Good morning. Good to be together this morning. Good to have some guests with us. We are glad that you are with us and hope that being with us today, you will be edified, and especially as we turn to God's Word now. This has been a subject that I have been wrestling with for a while. And I don't think I've actually preached a lesson taking an exposition out of Romans 9 through 11. And if you've read it, or maybe you just read from us from Brother Barry, you're thinking, all right, I got some of that, but maybe I didn't get all of it. I'm trying to understand it. This morning, we want to look at this, because it's an important section of Scripture. And as Peter said, there's some things that Paul wrote that are hard to understand. We read that in 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16. And I hope today, as we study this, this will help us. I find it very applicable when we start looking today, even the matters of politics and relationship and what some people say about Christians toward the nation of Israel existing today and the Jewish people. I think you'll see some relevance here. But also, what we're going to get out of Romans chapter 9 through 11 is that God has worked everything together for his glory as far as salvation for all people. And as we look at it, some people are wondering, like, here are the Jewish people and they are blessed, then they should all be saved, is some of the reasoning there. But Paul says it's not true. And the reason I want to look at this is, as we get a little bit further and deeper into it, over the last few weeks, we've been drawing from passages here. When we talked about knowing God and not just having a zeal from God, that came from Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And we built on that. And last week, as we looked at the false doctrines and errors that come in, and the teachings of Calvinism, we have been going toward that knowledge, getting a little bit deeper this month on these subjects. So I hope today that you will set your minds and get ready as we go into this scripture and open your Bible and take a look at some of these passages from Romans chapter 9 through 11. So I wanted you to be thinking and be applying this and understanding this is scripture and something that we certainly need to know. And so we see this today. We see this especially in our society when people are saying we should have an interfaith in that. And people want to say every belief is acceptable, or some might say, well, only every belief within Christianity is acceptable. You hear a lot of that. Well, what does the Bible say? As Christ says, there is only one way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except for by me. And a lot of people want to write in. They want to write in people they love and they care about. They want to say, oh, certainly they're going to have God's good will and salvation. And Paul could have done that if he twisted the gospel. If he didn't take what God's revelation to him was, he could have said, here are the Jewish people and I'm one of them and we've received the promises from God. We've received the law. We have been these blessed people. And so only our people will be saved. And that idea would be twisting the truth. And so when we look today, we want to be applying this because it applies to us as we think about salvation. And the hardest thing today for many, and that compromises many people as they compromise the gospel as they do this, as they think, well, certainly my mama was okay. And she was part of this church or part of this religion. and so I'll be okay. Or my mom's okay, evidently, and therefore what she did couldn't possibly be wrong, or my father or somebody or my grandmother. And I start making that application. But as we look here, Paul says, oh, I would give everything. I have anguish in my heart for the Jewish people that they would be saved. He said, I want them to be saved, but salvation is only in Christ, only in Him. So this morning, we'll be looking at this as far as what these scriptures say regarding the Jewish people. Now, listen to what Paul says here. He says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. He says, my conscience bears witness with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Ever felt like those around you and your family? I want them to hear the gospel. I want them to obey it. I want them to be restored. I want them to come back. And I hope that we'll have the same kind of heart when we believe and we understand that Christ is the only way and His word is the only way. And so Paul says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ. Christ came from him, is what he's saying. Who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Wonderful, powerful scripture there. And Paul says, these are all the blessings and all the things that Israel's been given. But if they don't believe in Christ and they don't follow him, they do not have salvation. And there's a powerful passage that comes right after that in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. We're going to come to in a minute. But growing up in the church with an ancestry of faith and a believing family will not save you. And you might think, maybe to you that seems kind of peculiar. Who would say that? As a preacher, I have heard this many times. I've heard, well, my daddy was a preacher, or my grandfather was an elder in the church. And they say that, but at the same time, you know they're not being very faithful. They're not reading. They're not in the assembly. And they're not committed in the way that they should be. And they start to use these things as an excuse. And you see that with the Jewish people saying, oh, we're the Jewish people. Evidently, our ancestry and being of Abraham, we're fine. But this kind of speak is only going to lead into error. And when we start to justify others and say, well, it must be okay for the Jewish people, what are we saying there? We're saying some people can be saved without Christ. We're undermining the gospel. We can't say such things. And so we might think about this a little bit further, about a dilemma here. If your spouse, your father has been an elder, a deacon, I guess I should say husband there, a spouse, an elder, a deacon, or a minister, their position in faith cannot save you. All because they've been in that position. What about you? What do you believe? You know, I'm always emphasizing with my children when I'm talking, especially to Megan and Wyatt right now. And I know they're getting close to thinking about baptism. They've talked to me about it. And as we discuss it and we drive down the road and talk to together, I say to this to them, I said, I want you to have your own faith. I want to see that you believe on your own. And because what you believe causes a change within you. When you realize the gospel, when you realize and you think, yes, Christ died for me, I'm going to repent that I have committed sins. That is a wonderful thing, a wonderful conviction that leads us to change. To say, I will repent. And I look for that in my children. I want to encourage it. And as we got a lot of children in this congregation, we want to make sure we're doing that and that they believe on their own. I ask them, why do you believe? Why do you believe? And I get answers, but as they grow older and I continue to see Megan to mature, her answers get deeper and deeper. I hope she didn't mind me using her. But I want you to think about that, that it does matter that we are believing on our own. And this is what we see in Romans. The nation of Israel and the Jewish people are not saved by their ancestry or because they were given God's promises. Their promises are attained by faith and through Christ, through the Messiah. And Romans 9, 6 through 7, Paul goes on, he says, but it is not as though the word of God has failed. For not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. I want you to think about that for a minute. Not all who are of Israel are of Israel. In other words, there are those who claim to be Jews and of Israel, but they're not faithful. They're not following God. They're not following Christ. That does not mean that they are saved. It also means that we, as those who are Christians and following, have the blessings and a part of the ancestry of Abraham and the blessings that come from it. Listen here, he says, not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And what's his point there about Isaac? He's saying, I promised to Abraham and I promised to Isaac, and it is by promise to those who are faithful. Those who are faithful to God are those who will be saved. The children of promise of God's offspring is not because of their flesh. They can't claim that. I can't say because of the history of growing up and because I'm attending the churches of Christ that the faith of the preacher there or the elders is going to save me, or that some way in my family that's going to be the ultimate way for me to be saved. We've got to believe in our own. We've got to follow Christ and trust in him. He is the only way. And then in Romans, there's this often difficult passage that many people deal with. And God says, as Paul expresses, God chooses whom he shows mercy on and shows grace, giving his providence to urge people to be saved, to come to repentance. In Romans 2, Paul said, the kindness of God leads us to repentance. Look at Romans 9:15. For he says to Moses, this is God speaking to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. God knows who he has created. He knows who's going to be faithful to him and who's going to do right. He is going to bless them and coming close to him. And he says this, and Paul says this in Romans 9-11, you've got to be seeking God. You've got to be focused on him. And the passage also says that God has made vessels, some for dishonorable use and honorable use. And some would say, well, who can reject God's will? In fact, that's what Paul says here in Romans 9:19. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? What I understand here is this. Those who are following God and seeking out Christ, God pulls them in and he makes them holy. But are those who reject Christ and reject God, no matter what their upbringing or their ancestry might be, God says lawlessness leads to lawlessness. They will be made for dishonorable use. But in all of this, some might say, well, why would God do this? And God says, through Paul, the Holy Spirit says, the reason this happens, the reason why, and someone have, maybe you've heard this question before, why would God make a person who he knows, knowing foreknowledge, because he knows all things, that one day they're going to fall away? The one day they're not going to follow Christ. Why would he make that person? Why would he have so many people? As Christ said, few will be saved. Many will go into destruction. Why would he create them knowing that? And that ties into the answer we get here in Romans chapter 9. It is answered right here. And God's answer is this. All to his glory. To show not only his kindness, but his severity. To show not only his love, but his wrath. And Paul says, no matter what you see in this world, and those who rebel, and those who may do wrong, everything works to the glory of God, to show how great he is, to declare his name throughout the world, to show his power. And as you think about that, because I've been thinking on it for weeks, it's a very deep thing, but it's a beautiful thing, and it's the right thing, and understanding our God. And I know this, when I read through this, and I don't want to be the one for dishonorable use. I want to seek God. I want to be one of whom I give glory to God, not because of the wrath coming upon me, because he saved me. That's what I want. So why would God, again, create people who could reject him or be lost? And again, God gives us free will. He couldn't make us simply do it. He didn't make us robots so that I would just make everybody to love me and choose to love me. But God has worked everything in a very wonderful way to show how great he is. In Romans 9:22-24, it says, what if God, desiring to show his wrath, to make known his power, see that, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for the vessels of mercy which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. So God calling from the Jews and the Gentiles, he works these things to his glory, to show mercy and his wrath. And as we get into Romans 9, we see this, God's people. God's promised children are both from the Jews and the Gentiles, and their righteousness comes by faith. They can't simply say, well, we were born into this, or we have a certain blood. In Romans 9, this is what Paul says, as indeed he says in Hosea, those who are not my people, I call my people. Now, I know I don't have any ancestry that is Jewish. I would be the Gentiles. I would be a fulfillment of that prophecy that comes from Hosea, and I thank God for it. I wasn't God's people. I wasn't of that blood, but now I am. And I think most of us in here would say the same thing. We're of that Gentile descent in our ethnicity, and that God has worked it through Christ that we can be involved in that, that we can be saved. And he says, and I will call my people, and who is not beloved, I will call beloved. And in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. And coming from Isaiah. So we thank God we are his people. And we continue to read here. To all who believe, Christ is the completion of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. It is Jesus that makes us just. It is Jesus that was sinless. It is us that is sin, and we need a Savior who could stand in our place and say, I've taken your sins on the cross. And so Christ has fulfilled the law in that. And then we see this. Paul says, we don't need to seek any further. Not like the Jews. You know, the Jews have this kind of belief where they're always talking about who's going to descend into heaven or who's going to descend into the abyss and into Hades and to find out the things around us, because a lot of the mystical Jews did that. They wrote books like the Book of Enoch trying to come up with these things. And Paul says, none of that. In Deuteronomy, it says, don't do that either. The revelation, the law of God has come to you. And then Paul says this. He says, it has come to you by Jesus Christ. He is the only way to know it. We can't just simply say because my mother lived this way or my dad lived this way and I love them, then I can simply say they're going to be saved. I've heard people say, well, I know an atheist who was a good person. I think the best is going to happen for him. That's not what the Bible teaches. And someone might say, well, I have a friend who is a Buddhist and he's a good person, they say, and I think he's going to be saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. It is only through Christ. And for that reason, Paul says, I'm anguished in heart. Why? Well, he's going around from synagogue to synagogue, place to place, teaching them the gospel, wanting them to be saved. We read this in Romans chapter 10. It says, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's that promise in the book of Joel. If you call on the name of the Lord. And we see this in Acts 22 and verse 16, where Ananias tells Paul, he says, arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, when the promise of calling on the name of the Lord is given, they ask, what must we do to be saved? And he doesn't tell them to say a prayer or anything like that. Peter says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And so we see that the only way is through Christ. And Paul is emphasizing that here. Therefore, Paul says this, Israel's without excuse. And that wouldn't just go for Israel, it would go for all of us today as we sit here and we contemplate our faith. We think about our salvation. Am I following Christ? Am I diligently seeking him out? Because in the end, I will have no excuse for turning my back on him, for not following him. God will find a way for the gospel to come to those who seek. Jesus said, seek and you will find. And God chooses his people by grace. So as we get to Romans 11, God says here, revealed through Paul, that he has hardened those of Israel who did not seek him by faith. They're seeking me by the law. They're trying to do it by circumcision and by keeping all these rituals and keeping the old law. He says, that's not by grace. The only way to have grace is not by law. The law, as we were talking about in Bible class this morning, only shows us our flaws, shows us where we're condemned. Salvation only comes from the promise of God. It's because of the promises of God that we thank God. You ever realize that? And when you think about God's law, you can stand under it and say, oh, I'm so guilty. But it is only when we see God's promises, we see that I've been saved, that we say, I thank you, God. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Those are the things that make us praise God. When we're singing songs this morning, we sing out. We sing out, or we should be, because we know what God has given us. But it says here, God has hardened those who don't seek him. You can't sit on the fence with God. You can't say, I'm going to try to follow him and follow his law. I'm going to do it under Judaism. No, God will, you will go one way or the other. He will harden you or he will bring you in closer. But God works everything for good. The stumbling of the Jews in the end here, Paul says this in Romans 11. He says, the Jews stumbled and they sinned all because they had the promises and the blessings that they did. It allowed that salvation go to all the world. And he said, and therefore it was a blessing. Because some of the Jews were not faithful, others could be brought in. Everybody could. And the full inclusion of the Gentiles, he said, because the Gentiles and the nations are coming in Christ, he said, that led many of the Jews to come back. And what is Paul saying here? He's saying, everything that you're trying to wrestle with and trying to understand salvation and why this person is saved and why this one is not and who is right with God, he says, it all works for God's glory. It all makes sense in Jesus Christ. So I warned you this morning that it would be deep. And I hope you'll look at it and study it again. As we look at these things, they're wonderful things to study and to think about. No longer can anyone live off the faith, the family, or congregation simply say, because of my blood or who I'm associated with, that they're saved. Or to claim because someone is your relative and you're a member of the church that you think that they're going to be fine. Even more reason to share the truth with them. And Paul says here, he says, the Gentiles, those who have been, who were not of the Jews, are like being grafted in. They're a part of that root that is in Christ and God, grafted into Christ. The Jews are like natural branches, and because they didn't believe, they were cut off. And as we think about that illustration. The blessing is that I can only do things in Christ. Christ says that in John chapter 15. That we can only do things as being a part of him and a part of the vine. Can we really produce fruit? And so don't think that, oh, I can do things on my own. That I'm going to make God obligated to save me because of the good things that I've done in this life. Salvation doesn't work in that way. It is by grace and God's promises. He says you're saved in Jesus Christ if you believe in him. Having believed, you confess your faith that he rose from the dead. Having repented of your sins, you die with Christ, being buried in baptism, that from there you rise up into the newness of life. And everything we've looked at today is we wonder about these things. Hard to understand. Romans 11 says this. It says, but if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. If you've been grafted and you become a Christian, it's the idea all because you have been joined to Christ that you can't be then cut off. He says, note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you provided you continue in his kindness. I ask you this morning, will you continue in his kindness? Continue to follow Christ. The Bible says that is the only way to be saved. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God has power to graft them in again. And so we see God's salvation. For those who have been removed to come back, and those who have come in to be removed and to fall from grace, we don't want that. We want to encourage one another. I encourage this morning, pursue righteousness that is only in Christ. That's what Paul is saying here. Not in your own way, not justifying yourself, not leaning on somebody else's faith, but on your own. Believe on your own. It's part of our scripture reading this morning, Romans 11 and verse 32. For God has consigned all to disobedience that he might have mercy on all. God loves you. He wants you to be saved. And you're here this morning. And if you've not been walking and following him and walking in the light, come back to him. Salvation is only in Christ. And God says under his law, everybody is guilty in Romans chapter 3. But it's because of Jesus, we have salvation. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And God wants to show mercy. He wants to show his nature and his compassion and love to you. So keep following him. Be diligent in that and share the gospel with others. Don't just simply say, well, all because my family member grew up in the church and then left that they're going to be okay. Only God can decide the truth, and he says that only those in Christ will be saved. We encourage you this morning, know the power of God that is the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, and I hope you can say the same thing. For it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. This morning, I want you to know the gospel. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And we want to continue to follow Christ in that truth. We want to die to our sins, die with Christ, bury that old person in baptism, and rise out of those waters as a new person, having all of our sins washed away. You can do that this morning. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, do it. Obey it. If you need prayers and encouragement, we want to encourage you. We want to pray with you. And maybe it's not a matter that you want to come forward with, but find someone here who can pray with you, encourage with you. I'd love to pray with you. Whatever your needs may be, we encourage you to come right now while we stand and while we sing. Please come.